Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. It's always a pleasure. Thanks for staying with me, those of you who have been listening, and those of you who just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. I'm excited about having Bill Schley back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. He and Carl Nichols wrote the book, Why Johnny Camp Brand, Rediscovering the Lost Art of the Big Idea. And I'm looking forward to another discussion with Bill on one of my favorite topics, as you know. Bill and Carl are partners in David Inc., which is an international brand consulting firm out of the great state of Connecticut. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to have you back.
I was in mid gulp of my coffee when you asked me that.
Well, you gotta be a little faster than that, Bill. Hey,
right.
Bill. You recently were on, was it CNBC when they asked you an interesting naming question?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be on a CNBC segment, a show called Street Signs.
Yeah.
And they were asking whether it was a good branding idea to sell the naming rights to corporations for public works like highway overpasses and bridges and elevated roadway. And was it a good idea to name, let's say, a highway in Chicago, let's call it the Tostitos Corn Ship Tolls. And I had an opinion. I thought not. I thought that might not be the best use of a brand person's time.
Well,
or money.
Part of the there are two issues there to me,
uh-huh.
Bill. One is the potential. You know, I think your attitude probably was what I would think, and that was that nobody wants to have their name on. I mean, nobody likes tolls.
Right.
Nobody likes to put money in their toll, but also, you know, what if the bridge collapses or whatever,
right.
or somebody, you know, today, you know, a lovelorn young man,
yeah,
jumped off of the in street bridge or something like that, you know,
or the
United Airlines bridge or whatever it might be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. But there's one other thing.
Yep.
Isn't the landscape already cluttered with enough names?
Well, it is. I mean, let me put it back. It is and it isn't cluttered. I mean, it's cluttered with a lot of names that don't mean anything. And what we try to tell people is what's being sold to a lot of companies by consultants and agencies and marketers nowadays is they say, just get attention at all costs. Just get awareness at all costs. So put your name everywhere. So if you can get your name on a stadium, great. On a bridge, great. But the fact is that they're forgetting that the good marketing, good advertising, it's not about attention. It's about a special kind of attention. It's attention that once I get an awareness, it offers a promise of some value to me. It piques my interest. It says, there's something in here that's going to make my life better. So once you get the attention, you have to sell me something. You have to give me a positive message. And so if I just simply put your name, if you put all those names out there, they're no better than wallpaper, literally.
Right.
Think
right.
about it. I mean, 1,000 names in a collage, none of them mean anything. So just by putting your name on a bridge, it doesn't mean anything. And we were talking about, for example, if companies are interested in the higher end benefit, the emotional end benefit that their brand means to someone, and if you're sitting in line in a traffic jam for 2 hours and you just paid $3.25 a gallon and you're watching your SUV's gas gauge go down, right, and you finally get up to a toll booth and that you have the privilege of putting $4 in the Tostitos corn chip toll, I just don't think that makes my mouth water for a corn chip.
Especially since they're not going to give you any salsa back, right?
I want to blow up the factory.
Yeah.
I don't want a corn chip, and I don't think I'm ever going to think. So it's not just attention for its own sake. It's got to be pointed attention, and so many people forget that.
Well, exactly. I've got a couple of examples that I wanted to ask you about. One, and I'll tell you one little quick story as we are heading toward a break.
Yeah.
There was this great old antique railroad bridge. Mm-hmm. Just a wonderful old bridge that was obviously taken out of service. It was like 130 years old in a little town that I know about. And the big bridge, the new bridge, goes beside it.
Mm-hmm.
And they restored it, and they made it where people could walk across it.
Yep.
It was really nice. It was a great thing that they did. Next thing we know, we're driving by, and there's all these big signs, these bank signs, and all these big signs on the side of the bridge.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of those things, well, you know, it seemed like a good idea at the time until you actually saw it.
Uh-huh.
And then it was like nobody had to say anything. Everybody said, you know what, those got to come down.
Right.
And so the next time we came by, you know, the signs were down. It was one of those things where, you know, it sounded like a great idea, but it was just unseemly.
Yeah,
you know, being up where it was. You got to use your head on these things. We're going to talk some more about how to use your head properly when you're applying your brand, wherever you're applying it, with our good friend Bill Schley. He's one of our branding experts. He's the co-author of Why Johnny Can't Brand. It's 2012. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
As I was walking down the street one day, a man came up to me and asked me what the time was that was on my watch. Yeah.
We're back at 17 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Bill Schley. He's the co-author of Why Johnny Can't Brand. Bill, you want to give us a website and tell us where the book's available, please?
Yes. Well, our website is www.davidid.com. So it's like the name David ID, D-A-V-I-D-I-D. And you can get the book there or on Amazon, of course, just by going to Why Johnny Can't Brand.
I want to move over, Bill, and talk about an outstanding part of your book called what you call the Granite Pages.
Uh-huh.
Tell us what the Granite Pages are, and then tell us a little bit about them.
Well, the Granite Pages is our kind of funny name for, we think, the rules that ought to be written in stone, that are the rules of great branding and advertising, and the rules that we see that so many of these advertisers and companies nowadays forget, which is the reason why we think that Johnny can't brand, quote unquote. Basically, you know, small companies say, well, geez, how do I do this? I don't have a $50 billion budget. I'm not sophisticated. I didn't go to Harvard Business School. We tell them that has nothing to do with great branding. The rules of branding were invented by what we call the brand titans back in the 1940s and 50s, and they invented them because there was radio and TV were coming in for the first time, and this mass medium, and they needed the rules to figure out how to communicate with these people, this new, powerful new medium. Mm-hmm. And they really went down, they thought about these things and pretty much invented these basic rules.
Well, basically, they were introducing the public
to
not only new products, but new ways to consider new products. I mean, the consumer economy was being born, wasn't it?
It was, but and also mass media, and they realized they had this 30 seconds. They realized the incredible power of this. They realized that clients were going to spend millions and millions of dollars, and the clients were asking them, well, what am I getting for my money? I mean, you know the famous thing, I know I'm wasting half of my advertising budget, I just don't know which half.
Right.
That was so they set out to really find these and they pretty much did, and these were men named John Caples and Victor Schwab and Rosser Reeves, David Ogilvy, people have heard of. So anyway, basically, they realized there were these fundamentals. And I ask people, it's good branding is so fundamental. If you look at anyone in any field of endeavor, okay, that's great. Any great professionals or anyone is good at something. What they're great at is a mastery of the fundamentals. That's what people are good at. And when people watch a television show, let's say they watch a sporting event, and we like to tell this story, you know, you see, Andre Agassi is there huddling with his tennis coach, and they're whispering, and you'd love to hear what the coach, the words of magic wisdom the coach is whispering in Andre Agassi's ear at the U.S. Open. And if you could hear what he's saying, he's telling him, Andre, bend your knees.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling them about the fundamentals, and that's how fundamental some of these rules are that we call the Granite Pages.
Well, let's get into them.
Yeah, let me tell you what they are. So, for example, the most important one of all we call the Rule of One. The Rule of One, and that is that the first Granite Page is the number one is holy. and we basically say that if the world and America could fall in love with a digit, okay, they have fallen in love, they have an abiding love affair with the number one. And you realize that we remember who the first man on the moon is, the winner of the Kentucky Derby, the first man that climbs Everest, the gold medal winner, but we just don't remember pretty much anyone else.
Not too many people remember who the second man was to jump out of the lunar lander and land on the moon.
They really don't. And the interesting thing about winning is, and being the number one, you don't have to win by a mile. All you have to do is win by an inch, win by a millisecond.
Right.
And you are that number one person. You win by a millisecond, and you get all the prize money. You get more prize money than all the other contestants combined and all the endorsements. So that's, by the way, there's another rule in that that we didn't write in the book, but we about that, which is that people think, well, if I want to brand myself, I've got to go out and invent the iPod tomorrow. Or right. I've got to do some fantastic super, I've got to become Starbucks coffee. The answer is you do not. The world we live in is that if you can just find that little bit of difference, 1% better, 2% better, but that clearly is makes you number one. You can win beyond your dreams of avarice,
well,
just
and
by an inch.
Let me throw something else out on this one thing. You know, it's a little, it might be a little off-putting to small business owners who understand that they can't beat the big companies who are their competitors with the budgets and with everything, all the media that these companies buy and force into the marketplace. But the point I'd like to make to small business owners is you don't have to be number one in the world. You only have to be number one in your neighborhood.
You have to be number one with your customers.
Yeah.
You have to be number one in the minds of your people that need you and know about you. Yes, that's where you need to be number one. For sure.
And so I was just going to say that's how you reconcile being number one without having a number one budget, marketing budget, is you just make sure that you're number one where it counts, because if you're a small business owner, you can't do business with everybody anyway.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And the thing is, you see, you don't have to be number one in a whole huge category. And again, you don't have to invent the iPod. Mm-hmm. What you do, you have to say, in my specialty or in my category, I do something that nobody else does that's important to you. That's what being number one is. Mm-hmm. So, for example, we say that number one is the most important thing. You have to find some place to be number one. Because we say that this is the first rule of this, and there's five little corollaries under this rule. This is the most important one of all, to be number one in something. We call it the one item of carry-on rule, which is that basically you can tell people 100 different things about their brand, but when they walk away, they remember one thing.
At least they carry one of those away. You got to put a handle on those things, folks, so they can carry them, too. Stand by. Quick break. Right back with Bill Schley. We're going to continue our discussion about branding. He's the author, a co-author of Why Johnny Can't Brand. It's Tintel. Stay with us.
So cute when they got you back from this jump.
Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Bill Schley is our guest. We're talking about why Johnny can't brand. And folks, we're talking about the branding ideas with Bill. He's one of our branding experts, and some of you may not have heard me talk very much about branding before, if you've just been a recent listener, or if you haven't heard Bill or any of my other branding experts, you might be saying, well, wait, you guys haven't said anything about logos. You guys haven't said anything about a brand promise or anything like that. And, Bill, I actually think, you know, and I'm sure you agree with me, that some people get the idea, they don't really understand what a brand is. It's, folks, it's not the logo. It's not just the logo. It's not just the brand promise. It's what people, how they hold you in their heads, in their hearts. That's where branding is.
Yeah, it's the one idea, that sets you apart in someone else's brain, not your brain, but in the customer's brain.
Mm-hmm.
It says, that company is the number one choice for me because of one thing. And that one thing is what people remember, and that's what turns them in your direction versus somebody else's. Once you get that big idea, logos, Everything else is just it's just painting on the tail of the airplane.
Right, right, exactly. So, and that's the that's all based on what Bill calls the number one is holy. Let's talk about you mentioned the carry-on the rule but also the next one is the dominant selling idea rule.
Right, right. So they want just to go on these rules. People, no matter how much you tell people, no matter how long your speech is, people walk away. You ask them, they remember one thing. So the rule is, if you're going to remember one thing, you better find the one thing that's the most unique, important, and memorable that you can possibly say. I mean, doesn't it make sense that find that one thing that's the most important thing you can possibly say?
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what we call the dominant selling idea, which is the one idea that's the most superlative, means you're best at something. Important means it matters to me. Believable means that I can believe you'll do it. And tangible means that you really perform. So that's what a dominant selling idea is. I'm going to go through these things quickly because that's why we wrote a 200-page book, so you can take notes and read.
I want to come back to that dominant selling idea, though. Yeah. Go ahead through the others.
Okay, but when you think of a dominant selling idea, so you think of the one thing that stands out. For example, Volvo is the safest car. That's a dominant selling idea. It says Volvo is the world's safest car. That's one thing. And if I want a safe car, I think of Volvo and safety basically in the same frame.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, so some people say, well, listen, what if somebody's already got their number one in the category? Well, the next rule is what we call the unlimited specialty rule, which means that there's an unlimited number of categories that you can be number one in. And what people do is, if someone else is already number one in the category, you invent a new category to be number one in. That's the way it's done that simply. There's no limits, like branches on a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Every time that you get, if you think you're stopped, then a new branch can sprout into a new category. And we can remember an unlimited number of those things. A good example there is a Subaru, again, another car. They had a station wagon. It wasn't quite a station wagon. It wasn't quite an SUV. And they called themselves the SUV wagon. All of a sudden, they created a new category. And they said, we're number one in that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were. And they did phenomenally well in their segment. Another one is what we call the Captain Kirk rule, which is that...
For all you techies out there.
Yeah, that's right. Which is basically,
Trekkies, I mean.
Right. Well, that's basically the rule that says you're allowed to change the game when you don't. What Captain Kirk did, if anyone, you Trekkies remember, he was the only one that solved the riddle of the greatest test in captain school, which was supposedly this unsolvable riddle. And what Captain Kirk did, he changed the rules. So that's how you get a number one specialty if the one doesn't exist today. And finally, there's what we call the eye of the beholder rule, which is number one is really what we say it is. That's the good news. If number one isn't just the biggest company with the biggest sales. Number one can be, I'm the only one down the street that sells brick oven pizza, or I'm the only one that
whatever it might be.
Any real difference, whatever it might be. That's right.
Well, so, here's a question for you as we go into the final minute here, Bill.
Yep.
The carry-on rule, whatever the dominant selling idea is, whatever the one unlimited specialty idea is, either you create that or your customers and your competition will. Somebody's going to create these things for you. Either you do it and you do it with a strategy, or and based on what you want, or somebody else will, and you probably won't like that.
That's exactly right. So that's right. That's the idea. You're branded. The second you open your doors for business, you have a brand, which is the impressions that people form of you that you can't help and they can't help. Okay, they make an impression, and the only choice you have is to decide to choose what that impression's gonna be.
Right. Bill, I
got to use these rules.
Got to wrap it up. Thanks for being here. Give us the website again, please.
It's www.davidid.com.
DavidID.com. The book is Why Johnny Can't Brand. The authors are Bill Schley and Carl Nichols. Thanks, Bill, for being here. Good job. We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll see you on the other side of the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.